Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a gripping tale titled The Mistress's Revenge. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. The Mistress's Revenge, Chapter 1, The Catalyst. The scent of betrayal lingered longer than any perfume. Vivian Lauren sat in the dimly lit lounge of the Astoria Hotel, swirling her glass of wine, her crimson lips curling into a brittle smile as her eyes locked on the man who had once promised her the world. Charles Armand. The name now tasted bitter on her tongue. Across the room, he was everything she had fallen for, charming, powerful, and magnetic. But tonight, his charm was directed at someone else. Vivian's fingers tightened around the fragile stem of her wine glass as she watched Charles laugh with his wife, Elizabeth. It wasn't their usual strained, obligatory laughter. It was genuine. Vivian hated how easily he had moved on, erasing her as though she were a passing infatuation. The same man who had whispered promises in her ear now behaved as though she didn't exist.
The break.
The unraveling had started 2 weeks earlier. Vivian had been sitting in the lush penthouse Sweet Charles had provided for her, a gilded cage where she waited endlessly for his stolen hours. A knock on the door interrupted her thoughts, and when she opened it, the world shifted. Charles stood there, his usual self-assured posture weighed down by something darker. "We need to talk," he said, his voice devoid of warmth. Vivian had let him in, expecting the usual apologies for his absences, maybe even an expensive gift. But what followed felt like a scalpel carving her heart. "It's over, Vivian." Two words. Two merciless words that echoed in her mind. She had tried to protest, to remind him of their plans, their shared secrets, their love. But Charles had only looked at her with a pity that cut deeper than any insult. "This isn't personal," he said, his voice maddeningly calm. "Elizabeth knows something. I can't risk my marriage for this anymore." Vivian's world cracked open. The affair she had invested her heart, body, and soul into was nothing more than a liability to him. She was disposable, the embers of vengeance. The days that followed were a blur of anger, heartbreak, and humiliation. She ignored his calls, weak attempts to smooth things over with offers of financial support and platitudes. She had given up too much for him, her career, her reputation, and most of all, her belief in love. And for what? To be discarded like an inconvenience? But Vivian was no ordinary woman. Where others might have wallowed in self-pity, she saw an opportunity. If Charles thought he could simply walk away, he was mistaken. Her plan began to form in the darkest hours of the night, each piece falling into place like a perfect puzzle. She wouldn't just make him pay, she would make him suffer. And the perfect way to hurt Charles wasn't through money or public scandal. It was through his wife. The first move. Vivian started her research. Elizabeth Armand, the picture-perfect socialite, was far from untouchable. Behind her glossy photos and charity events was a woman riddled with insecurities. Years of being a trophy wife had taken their toll. Vivian knew that Charles's infidelities had left scars, even if Elizabeth pretended otherwise. The foundation of their marriage was already cracked. Vivian merely needed to pry it apart. Her first move was subtle. She attended one of Elizabeth's charity galas, blending into the crowd as an anonymous donor. It wasn't difficult to strike up a conversation with Elizabeth. Vivian had a talent for reading people, for saying exactly what they needed to hear. "You're so inspiring," Vivian said, her tone warm and genuine. "I've always admired women like you, who can juggle so much." Elizabeth, unused to such direct praise, had smiled shyly. "Oh, it's not as glamorous as it looks," she replied, her polished exterior softening. The seed was planted. Over the following weeks, Vivian carefully orchestrated chance encounters, each time deepening their connection. She became the supportive friend Elizabeth didn't know she needed, someone who listened without judgment, who understood her struggles. The first crack. The turning point came during a lunch date Vivian had arranged at an upscale bistro. Over glasses of Chardonnay, Elizabeth confided in her new friend. Sometimes I feel like Charles. I don't know. He's distant lately, Elizabeth admitted, her voice barely above a whisper. Do you think I'm imagining things? Vivian leaned in, her expression one of concern. I don't think you're imagining anything. I mean, powerful men, they have their secrets. Elizabeth's hand froze midair, her fork hovering over her plate. What do you mean? She asked, her tone sharp. Vivian backpedaled gracefully, planting just enough doubt without appearing accusatory. Oh, I didn't mean anything specific. I just meant that sometimes they get so focused on work that they lose sight of what's important. I'm sure it's nothing, but it was too late. The doubt had taken root. The spark of paranoia. That night, Elizabeth confronted Charles about his late nights and cryptic phone calls. He dismissed her concerns with his usual charm, but the tension in their household was palpable. Charles's confidence had always been his greatest strength, but even he couldn't deny that something felt off. For Vivian, it was a victory. Watching the cracks in their marriage widen filled her with a sense of power she hadn't felt in weeks. But this was only the beginning. She wasn't here to wound him. She was here to destroy him. The Mistress's Revenge, Chapter 2, The First Move. Trust, once fractured, is a weapon waiting to be wielded. Elizabeth Armand sat in the glow of her grand dining room, the flicker of the chandelier overhead casting long shadows on the room's marble surfaces. Across from her, Charles read through a stack of documents, his mind seemingly miles away. The silence between them was heavy, punctuated only by the occasional clink of silverware. Elizabeth's thoughts, however, were anything but silent. Vivian's words from their lunch echoed in her mind. Powerful men, they have their secrets. The statement had been vague, almost innocuous, but it had stirred something deep within her, a suspicion she had buried for years. Vivian's chessboard. While Elizabeth grappled with her doubts, Vivian was already moving her next piece. She knew that her plan would require more than subtle manipulations. It would need tangible evidence to fuel Elizabeth's paranoia. Vivian reached out to a contact from her past, a man named Damien Wolfe, who specialized in information retrieval. Damien was a hacker with a reputation for digging up dirt on anyone for the right price. I need you to find everything you can on Charles Armand, Vivian said, her tone calm but resolute. Damien raised an eyebrow. Exposing a guy like him won't be cheap. Money isn't an issue, Vivian replied, sliding a check across the table. I want his emails, his bank records, his travel history, anything that looks remotely suspicious. And I need it fast. Damien smirked. Consider it done. Planting the seeds. 2 days later, Vivian met Elizabeth for coffee. The meeting had been carefully orchestrated to take place at a cafe frequented by gossiping socialites, ensuring that their growing friendship was seen by the right people. Elizabeth looked more anxious than usual, her fingers trembling slightly as she stirred her latte. Vivian noticed immediately. Are you okay? Vivian asked, her voice laced with concern. Elizabeth hesitated, then sighed. I've just been. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking things, but Charles has been acting so distant lately. And with everything going on at work, it's like he's barely here anymore. Vivian placed a comforting hand on Elizabeth's. You're not overthinking it. You're trusting your instincts. Sometimes, when people act distant, it's because they're hiding something. Elizabeth's eyes widened slightly. You really think so? I don't want to alarm you, Vivian said, her tone measured. But if I were in your position, I'd want to know the truth. Vivian reached into her bag and pulled out a folded piece of paper. This might sound crazy, but I know someone who can help. A private investigator. He's discreet and very good at what he does. Elizabeth stared at the paper, her expression a mix of reluctance and curiosity. I don't know if I could go that far. Vivian smiled gently. Just think about it. Sometimes peace of mind is worth everything. The shadow investigator. That evening, Elizabeth sat alone in her study, the private investigator's name and number sitting on the desk in front of her. Her mind raced with conflicting emotions. Part of her wanted to dismiss the idea as absurd. After all, what kind of wife hires someone to spy on her husband? But another part of her, the part wounded by years of Charles's neglect, couldn't let it go. Finally, she picked up the phone and dialed. "Hello," a deep voice answered. "Hi, my name is Elizabeth Armand. I was given your number by a friend. I think I might need your services." "Of course, Mrs. Armand," the voice said smoothly. "What exactly are you looking for?" Elizabeth hesitated, then took a deep breath. "I need to know if my husband is hiding something from me. The unveiling." Meanwhile, Vivian's plan continued to unfold. Damien had delivered a treasure trove of information, and Vivian sifted through it meticulously. While much of it was mundane, one detail caught her eye: a series of unexplained payments from Charles's personal account to an offshore account in the Cayman Islands. Vivian's lips curled into a smile. This was exactly the kind of ammunition she needed. She printed out copies of the bank statements and placed them in an unmarked envelope, ready to pass them on to the private investigator Elizabeth had hired. The first crack widens. A week later, Elizabeth received the investigator's preliminary report. Her hands trembled as she flipped through the pages. The report detailed Charles's frequent late-night meetings, vague explanations for business trips, and the suspicious offshore account. While none of it was conclusive, it was enough to feed her growing paranoia. That night, Elizabeth confronted Charles. "What's this?" she demanded, slamming the report down on the kitchen counter. Charles glanced at the papers, his brow furrowing. "What the hell is this, Elizabeth?" "I should be asking you that," she snapped. "Why are you transferring money to an offshore account? And don't you dare tell me it's for business." Charles's jaw tightened. "You hired a private investigator? Are you out of your mind?" "Don't you dare turn this around on me," Elizabeth shot back. "I'm not the one sneaking around and lying." Charles took a step back, his expression shifting from anger to disbelief. "I don't have to explain myself to you," he said coldly. "If you don't trust me, that's your problem." Elizabeth felt a pang of regret, but quickly buried it beneath her anger. "If you won't explain yourself, I'll find someone who will." Vivian's triumph. As Elizabeth's confrontation with Charles escalated, Vivian celebrated her success from afar. Every piece of her plan was falling into place, and the cracks in their marriage were widening faster than she had anticipated. But even as she basked in her triumph, Vivian knew this was only the beginning. The game was far from over, and she had many more moves to make. The Mistress's Revenge, Chapter 3, Seeds of Doubt. Doubt is a slow poison, but in the right hands, it can be a weapon sharper than any blade. Elizabeth Armand paced the length of her sunlit sitting room, the private investigator's report crumpled in her hand. The golden glow streaming through the windows did little to calm the storm inside her. Her confrontation with Charles the night before had ended in icy silence, leaving her more uncertain than ever. She told herself she needed more proof, but in truth, she was already spiraling down the path Vivian had carefully paved. Vivian watched from afar, content with the unraveling she'd set in motion. But she knew the time had come to tighten her grip and plant the seeds of doubt more deeply. A fragile bond. The next time Vivian met Elizabeth, the wealthy socialite was visibly shaken. Her perfectly styled hair seemed hastily tied back, and her makeup couldn't entirely mask the dark circles under her eyes. Elizabeth had always presented herself as the epitome of grace and composure, but now, cracks in that facade were beginning to show. "I don't know what to believe anymore," Elizabeth confessed over tea, her voice barely above a whisper. "Charles denies everything, but the investigator found too many inconsistencies. I feel like I'm going crazy." Vivian leaned forward, her expression a mix of concern and subtle triumph. "You're not crazy, Elizabeth. Men like Charles, they're experts at gaslighting. They make you question your own reality." Elizabeth blinked, her lips trembling. "Do you really think he could be capable of something so terrible?" Vivian hesitated, allowing the question to hang in the air. Then, with calculated softness, she said, "Sometimes, the people we trust the most are the ones who betray us in ways we never imagined." The words struck Elizabeth like a blow, her eyes filling with tears. Vivian reached out and took her hand, the gesture both comforting and strategic. "You're strong," Vivian said. "You deserve to know the truth, no matter how painful it might be." the letter. That evening, Vivian slipped an envelope under Elizabeth's front door. Inside was a carefully crafted letter, written on anonymous stationery, along with a photograph. The letter read, "Mrs. Armand, you don't know me, but I feel compelled to warn you. Your husband is not the man you think he is. I've seen him meeting with someone who is not you. Be careful and trust your instincts. A friend." The photograph was blurry, as though taken in haste, but it clearly showed Charles sitting in a dimly lit restaurant across from a woman. The woman's face was obscured, but her posture and the intimacy of their body language spoke volumes. Vivian had staged the photo herself, enlisting an actress to play the part of the other woman. It was a small touch, but one designed to push Elizabeth further toward the edge. The descent. Elizabeth found the envelope the next morning. Her heart raced as she read the letter, her mind immediately conjuring images of Charles betraying her. The photograph only added to her paranoia. She confronted Charles again, this time with tears and accusations. "Who is she?" Elizabeth demanded, shoving the photograph in his face. Charles, visibly shocked, took a step back. "What is this? Where did you get this? Don't act like you don't know." Elizabeth's voice cracked with emotion. "You've been lying to me for months. Just admit it." Charles stared at the photograph, his expression shifting from confusion to anger. "This is ridiculous. Someone's clearly trying to manipulate you. This isn't what it looks like." "Then what is it?" Elizabeth's voice was shrill now. "Because I can't keep pretending everything's fine. I can't keep living like this." Charles shook his head, his tone icy. "Maybe you should focus on fixing yourself instead of looking for problems where there aren't any." His words stung more than Elizabeth wanted to admit. As he walked away, she sank into a nearby chair, clutching the photograph. Her tears blurred the image, but the pain in her chest was sharper than ever. Vivian's next move. Watching the fallout from a distance, Vivian felt a surge of satisfaction. But she knew better than to grow complacent. Her plan required constant momentum, and she had more cards to play. That afternoon, Vivian placed a call to Damien Wolfe. "I need another favor," she said, her voice cool and measured. "This time, it's not about digging up dirt. It's about creating it." Damien chuckled. "What do you have in mind?" Vivian smiled. "I need you to plant some messages. Emails that look like they're from Charles. Something incriminating, but not too obvious. Just enough to make his wife question everything." "Consider it done," Damien replied. "You're really going all out on this, huh?" "You have no idea," Vivian said, her tone dark. The fake emails. 2 days later, Elizabeth's personal laptop pinged with a new email notification. The message appeared to be from Charles's private account, though in reality, it was one of Damien's carefully crafted forgeries. The email read, "Meeting confirmed for Thursday night. Usual place. Make sure you're discreet. I can't afford any mistakes this time." Elizabeth's hands shook as she read the message. Her mind raced with questions. Who was the email meant for? What mistakes was he referring to? The ambiguity only deepened her anxiety. She read the email over and over, her heart pounding. It was the proof she had been searching for, or at least it felt like it. The spiral. Over the next week, Elizabeth's behavior became increasingly erratic. She started avoiding Charles, unable to look him in the eye. She found herself obsessively reading and rereading the investigator's report, the anonymous letter, and the email. Each piece of evidence felt like a piece of a puzzle she couldn't fully assemble, but one thing was clear: she could no longer trust her husband. Charles, for his part, grew more distant. He dismissed Elizabeth's concerns as paranoia, refusing to engage in any meaningful conversations. The gulf between them widened, just as Vivian had planned. The tightening grip. With Elizabeth firmly in her grasp, Vivian prepared to escalate her scheme. She knew that trust, once broken, was nearly impossible to rebuild. And she was determined to ensure that Elizabeth and Charles would never find their way back to each other. For Vivian, this was no longer about revenge. It was about control, and she was just getting started. The Mistress's Revenge, Chapter 4, Shadows and Whispers. Whispers, once planted, grow into screams that can drown out even the loudest truths. Elizabeth Armand sat in her car outside a quiet restaurant on the edge of town. The photograph Vivian had given her lay in her lap, its edges worn from constant handling. She stared at the blurred image of Charles, the other woman leaning slightly toward him, and felt the anger bubble inside her again. Tonight, she wasn't going home until she knew the truth. A meeting in the shadows. Elizabeth's private investigator, Nathan Price, arrived moments later. His demeanor was calm and professional, but Elizabeth's erratic energy was hard to miss. "I followed your husband again," Nathan said, sliding into the passenger seat. He handed her a folder, thick with documents and photographs. He met with the same woman from the photo yesterday. Elizabeth's heart sank.
"Where? What were they talking about?"
Nathan hesitated, his tone measured. "At a hotel. The meeting lasted over an hour. There's no audio, but based on the body language, it looked personal." Elizabeth's grip on the folder tightened. The word hotel stung, and her mind immediately filled with the worst possibilities. "I want to see it," she demanded. Nathan looked at her with mild concern. "Mrs. Armand, are you sure? Sometimes it's better not to." "I said I want to see it." With a sigh, Nathan pulled out a tablet and showed her a series of grainy surveillance videos. The footage was damning. Charles was seen entering the hotel lobby with a woman, blonde, tall, and elegant. They exchanged a few words, then disappeared into an elevator. The image burned into Elizabeth's mind. It didn't matter what they were really doing. The insinuation was enough to confirm her suspicions. She couldn't breathe. The world felt as though it was closing in on her. Vivian's carefully orchestrated timing. While Elizabeth wrestled with her emotions, Vivian made her next move. Timing was everything, and Vivian had been meticulous in planning when and how to push Elizabeth further. Vivian had arranged to accidentally run into Elizabeth the following morning. It wasn't difficult to track Elizabeth's routine. Vivian had spent weeks studying her movements, knowing exactly where to appear. As Elizabeth walked into her favorite florist shop, her face pale and her eyes red from a sleepless night, Vivian approached her with just the right mix of concern and curiosity. "Elizabeth, are you okay?" Vivian asked, her tone gentle but insistent. Elizabeth looked up startled. She hesitated before replying. "I don't know. I don't think I'm okay." Vivian placed a comforting hand on Elizabeth's arm. "Do you want to talk about it? Sometimes just saying things out loud can help." Elizabeth's walls, already weakened by paranoia and stress, crumbled entirely. She spilled everything, the investigator, the photos, the videos, and her fears about Charles. Vivian listened attentively, nodding in all the right places. When Elizabeth finished, Vivian's voice was soft, almost conspiratorial. "I don't mean to overstep, but do you think it's possible he's trying to push you aside? To replace you?" Elizabeth's eyes widened. "What do you mean?" Vivian hesitated, as though reluctant to continue, before finally saying, "Sometimes men, they want a clean break. And if they think you might stand in the way of their plans, well, they might look for ways to make sure you don't." Elizabeth froze, the implication hanging heavily in the air. Vivian didn't need to say more. The seed had been planted. The paranoia deepens. Elizabeth returned home that evening in a daze. Every creak of the house, every passing shadow felt sinister. Vivian's words repeated in her mind like a mantra. "They might look for ways to make sure you don't." She began noticing things she had never paid attention to before. Charles's briefcase left slightly ajar, revealing documents she didn't recognize, locked drawers in a study she had never questioned, and most unsettling of all, a life insurance policy she stumbled upon while rifling through his desk. The policy, worth millions, named her as the sole beneficiary. Her hands trembled as she read the fine print. It was all too much of a coincidence. Why would he keep this hidden? She thought. What if Vivian's right? What if I'm standing in the way of something? Her mind spiraled further into suspicion and fear. Charles's growing frustration. Meanwhile, Charles was growing increasingly frustrated with Elizabeth's erratic behavior. Over dinner that evening, he attempted to address the tension between them. "Elizabeth," he began, his tone exasperated, "we can't keep going like this. You've been distant, paranoid. What's going on? Elizabeth's gaze snapped to him, her eyes narrowing. You know exactly what's going on? Charles sighed. If this is about those ridiculous accusations, I've already told you, there's nothing to them. Someone's trying to get inside your head, and you're letting them. Elizabeth's voice rose. Don't patronize me, Charles. I've seen the proof. I've seen the photos, the emails, the hotel videos. What videos? Charles asked, genuinely confused. Elizabeth threw down the private investigator's report, her anger boiling over. This? You think I wouldn't find out? Do you take me for a fool? Charles stared at the report, his face a mask of disbelief. This is insane. You're accusing me of what? Having an affair? Plotting something against you? Elizabeth, this is paranoia, plain and simple. Elizabeth stood, her chair scraping loudly against the hardwood floor. If it's all so innocent, then explain it. Explain why you've been sneaking around, lying to me, and meeting with other women. Charles shook his head, his voice cold. I don't owe you an explanation for lies someone else has planted in your head. Elizabeth felt a pang of regret as he stormed out of the room, but her anger quickly overpowered it. She couldn't trust him. Not anymore. Vivian's next target. Vivian watched the growing chaos in the Armand household with satisfaction, but she knew there was still work to be done. Elizabeth was close to breaking, but Charles remained a wild card. If he discovered Vivian's involvement, her entire plan could collapse. She needed to shift her focus temporarily, and that meant targeting someone else. Nathan Price, the private investigator. Vivian reached out to Nathan anonymously, hiring him for a separate case that would keep him distracted and away from Elizabeth for the next few weeks. The less Elizabeth had to lean on, the more vulnerable she would become. The whispers grow louder. As Elizabeth lay awake that night, the shadows in her bedroom seemed to move with a life of their own. Every creak of the house sounded like a threat. Every glance from Charles felt like a warning. Her paranoia had reached a fever pitch, and she was now entirely under Vivian's control. For Vivian, this was victory. But she also knew that whispers, once loud enough, could eventually drown out even her own voice. And with each move she made, the stakes grew higher. The Mistress's Revenge, Chapter 5, The Breaking Point. There's a moment in every plan where control slips away and chaos begins to take hold. Elizabeth Armand stood in her bedroom, staring at her reflection in the antique mirror. Her pale face was framed by disheveled hair, her once bright eyes now shadowed by sleepless nights. In her hands, she clutched the damning photograph Vivian had given her, the one of Charles and the mysterious woman at the hotel. The air in the room felt heavy, oppressive, as though it were conspiring to close in on her. Her mind raced with questions she couldn't answer, fears she couldn't silence. She knew she was reaching a breaking point, but she also knew she couldn't stop herself. The confrontation. Charles entered the room moments later, his tie loosened and his expression weary. He paused when he saw Elizabeth, his brow furrowing in concern. What's wrong now? He asked, his tone tinged with frustration. Elizabeth turned to face him, holding up the photograph. This is what's wrong. Charles sighed heavily, running a hand through his hair. We've been over this, Elizabeth. That photo is meaningless. Meaningless? Elizabeth's voice trembled with anger. You're sitting with another woman in a hotel, and you call that meaningless? Yes, because it's not what you think. Charles snapped, his patience finally wearing thin. That woman is a business associate. We were discussing a deal. In a hotel? Elizabeth countered, her voice rising. What kind of business associate meets in a hotel? Charles stepped closer, his voice low and controlled. The kind who values privacy, because the deal involves millions of dollars. I've told you this before, Elizabeth, but you're too caught up in your own delusions to listen. Elizabeth's grip on the photograph tightened, her knuckles whitening. Don't you dare gaslight me. I've seen the emails, Charles. The late-night meetings, the offshore accounts. Do you think I'm stupid? Charles's jaw clenched, his eyes narrowing. I think you're letting someone manipulate you, and it's tearing us apart. Vivian's shadow. Across town, Vivian sipped a glass of wine in her meticulously decorated apartment. Her phone sat on the table before her, the screen glowing with a text message from her private investigator contact. Nathan Price, Elizabeth's asking for more details. She's spiraling. What do you want me to do? Vivian smirked, typing a reply. Give her what she wants. Feed her doubts. She leaned back in her chair, satisfaction radiating through her. Elizabeth was unraveling beautifully, and Charles's growing frustration only made it easier for her to widen the cracks between them. But Vivian knew she couldn't stop now. Elizabeth's paranoia needed one final push, a revelation so devastating that it would leave her completely unmoored. A fatal discovery. The next day, Elizabeth decided to search Charles's private study, a space he had always kept off limits. Armed with the investigator's findings and her growing suspicions, she waited until Charles left for work before unlocking the door with a key she had stolen from his desk. The study was immaculate, its bookshelves lined with leather-bound volumes and its mahogany desk polished to a gleam. But Elizabeth's eyes were drawn to a drawer partially hidden behind the desk. It was locked, but after a few minutes of searching, she found the key tucked inside a decorative box on the shelf. Her hands trembled as she opened the drawer, revealing a small stack of documents. The first thing she noticed was a manila folder marked Estate Planning. Inside were detailed notes about their assets, investments, and most disturbingly, her life insurance policy. Elizabeth's breath caught as she read the annotations in Charles's handwriting. Beside her policy, he had scribbled a note, "Necessary for transition." "Transition," she whispered to herself, her voice shaking. "What transition?" Her pulse quickened as she flipped through the rest of the documents, each one more damning than the last. The notes outlined steps to liquidate their joint assets and consolidate funds into an offshore account. There was even a tentative timeline labeled post-July, which coincided with their upcoming anniversary trip, a trip Charles had insisted they take despite her hesitations. Elizabeth's mind raced.
"He's planning something."
"He's waiting until July." Vivian's words echoed in her ears. "Sometimes they want a clean break. And if they think you might stand in the way, the call for help." Panic-stricken, Elizabeth called Vivian. Her hands shook as she held the phone, pacing the length of her bedroom. "Vivian," she said, her voice cracking. "You were right. I found the proof. He's planning something. I don't know what to do." Vivian, lounging on her couch, allowed a calculated pause before responding. "Elizabeth, listen to me. You're not safe. If Charles is planning something as serious as this, you need to act before it's too late." "What do you mean?" Elizabeth asked, her voice tinged with desperation. "You need to protect yourself," Vivian replied. "Gather as much evidence as you can and take it to someone who can help, a lawyer, the police, anyone who can intervene." Elizabeth nodded, though she knew Vivian couldn't see her. "You're right. I can't let him get away with this." But even as Elizabeth hung up the phone, Vivian's smile widened. The trap was set. All that remained was to watch Elizabeth fall deeper into her web. Charles's own investigation. Unbeknownst to Elizabeth, Charles had begun his own investigation. He had hired his trusted lawyer, Jonathan Hargrove, to look into the strange developments in his life. Elizabeth's erratic behavior, the anonymous letters, and the private investigator she had hired. "She's being manipulated," Charles told Jonathan during a private meeting. "Someone's feeding her lies, and I need to know who." Jonathan nodded, his expression grave. "Leave it to me. I'll find out who's behind this." Charles's frustration was palpable. He had always prided himself on his ability to control his life, but now everything felt like it was slipping through his fingers. He didn't know who his enemy was, but he vowed to find out before it was too late. The breaking point. That evening, Elizabeth confronted Charles again. This time, she was armed with the documents from his study. "Explain this," she demanded, throwing the papers onto the dining table. Charles stared at the documents, his face darkening. "Where did you get these?" "That doesn't matter," Elizabeth snapped. "What matters is that you're planning to get rid of me. Is that why you've been pushing this trip? Are you planning to too?" Her voice broke as tears streamed down her face. Charles stepped forward, his tone sharp. "You've lost your mind, Elizabeth. None of this is what you think it is." "Then explain it," she screamed, her voice echoing through the room. "Why do you have a timeline? Why are you consolidating our assets? What does necessary for transition means? Charles ran a hand through his hair, his expression a mix of anger and exasperation. It's for the business. I've been restructuring everything to protect us from the fallout of a potential lawsuit. But you wouldn't understand that because you're too busy listening to lies. Elizabeth froze, her mind spinning. A lawsuit? Yes, Elizabeth, Charles said, his voice cold. But I suppose you're too far gone to believe anything I say. As he turned and left the room, Elizabeth crumpled into a chair, clutching the documents to her chest. She didn't know what to believe anymore. All she knew was that the man she had once trusted with her life now felt like a stranger. The Mistress's Revenge, Chapter 6, The Web Tightens. Lies are fragile things until they find fertile ground in a desperate mind. Then they grow, taking root in every shadow, every silence. Elizabeth Armand awoke in the middle of the night, her breath coming in short, panicked gasps. Her dreams had been haunted by images of Charles, his face cold and unfeeling as he signed away her life with a flourish of his pen. The documents she had discovered replayed in her mind, their cryptic notes screaming warnings she couldn't ignore. Her gaze darted to the clock, 3:47 a.m. She swung her legs over the side of the bed, the cold hardwood floor grounding her chaotic thoughts. I need to know more. I need to protect myself. A new ally. The following morning, Elizabeth decided to meet with her lawyer, Martha Greer, a sharp and pragmatic woman she had known for years. If anyone could help her make sense of the documents and determine if she was in real danger, it was Martha. I'm not sure what to make of this, Elizabeth said, handing over the folder. They sat in Martha's sleek office, sunlight streaming through floor-to-ceiling windows. Martha adjusted her glasses and flipped through the papers, her expression unreadable. After several minutes, she looked up, her tone measured. These documents are concerning, but they're not definitive proof of wrongdoing. They could be interpreted in many ways. Elizabeth's heart sank. So, you're saying I'm imagining things? No, Martha replied firmly. I'm saying you need more evidence. If you truly believe Charles is hiding something or planning something, you need to find irrefutable proof. Elizabeth nodded slowly, her resolve hardening. I'll get it. Vivian's push. That afternoon, Vivian met with Damien Wolfe in a quiet corner of a bustling coffee shop. Damien handed her a flash drive, his expression smug. Everything you asked for. The fake emails are indistinguishable from the real ones, and I threw in some fabricated transactions for good measure. Vivian smirked, tucking the drive into her bag. You've outdone yourself. It's not just for you, Damien replied. I like watching people squirm. Vivian's plan was coming together perfectly. She would deliver the contents of the flash drive to Elizabeth, ensuring her doubts about Charles grew into a full-blown conviction. The tighter the web around Elizabeth, the more unhinged she would become. Elizabeth's descent. Elizabeth sat alone in her bedroom, her laptop open on the desk in front of her. Her hands trembled as she inserted the flash drive Vivian had dropped off earlier that day, claiming it contained something you need to see. The files were overwhelming, screenshots of emails allegedly sent by Charles, detailing meetings with unknown women and cryptic messages about cleaning up loose ends. Financial spreadsheets showed large withdrawals and deposits into offshore accounts, with dates that aligned suspiciously with their upcoming anniversary trip. Her stomach churned as she read through the emails, each one painting Charles as a cold, calculating man capable of anything. Her mind raced. This is the proof I need. This is what Martha was talking about. Elizabeth didn't notice the tears streaming down her face until they blurred the screen. She wiped them away angrily, her emotions vacillating between fear and fury. She felt trapped, powerless, exactly as Vivian intended. The distance grows. Charles noticed the change in Elizabeth immediately. She had always been poised, her demeanor calm and composed, but now she seemed jittery, her movements sharp and uncoordinated. She avoided him whenever possible, barely meeting his eyes when they spoke. Over dinner that evening, he tried to break the ice. Elizabeth, can we talk? I know things have been tense, but... There's nothing to talk about, she interrupted, her tone flat. Charles frowned. We can't keep going on like this. If you think something's wrong, we need to address it together. Elizabeth looked up, her eyes narrowing. Together? You've been lying to me for months. How can I believe anything you say? Charles's frustration bubbled to the surface. I'm not lying to you, Elizabeth. Someone is feeding you lies, and you're falling for it. Her laughter was bitter. Of course. It's always someone else's fault, isn't it? Charles slammed his fork down on the table, the sound echoing through the room. This isn't you, Elizabeth. I don't know what's happened, but I'm not going to stand by and let you destroy us over baseless accusations. Baseless? She shot back. I've seen the proof, Charles. I've seen the emails, the money transfers, the photos. Do you think I'm making this up? Charles's face darkened. I don't know what you've seen, but I do know one thing. You're being manipulated. And until you realize that, there's nothing more I can say. He rose from the table and left the room, leaving Elizabeth to stew in her anger and confusion. The trap tightens. Vivian watched the unfolding chaos from afar, her satisfaction growing with each passing day. She knew that Elizabeth was on the verge of a breakdown, and Charles was too consumed by his own frustration to see the trap closing in around him. But Vivian wasn't finished yet. She had one final move to make, one that would push Elizabeth over the edge and ensure that Charles couldn't recover. The anonymous tip. The next morning, Elizabeth received a call from an unknown number. She hesitated before answering, her voice cautious. Hello, Mrs. Armand. The voice on the other end was low and serious. I'm calling because I have information about your husband. Elizabeth's breath caught.
Who is this?
That doesn't matter, the voice replied. What matters is that your life is in danger. Your husband has been making arrangements to ensure you disappear. Elizabeth's blood ran cold. What kind of arrangements? There's a man, someone he's hired. If you want proof, check the hotel receipts for the Grand Arcadia. Look for the name Matthew Carter. The line went dead, leaving Elizabeth clutching the phone, her heart pounding. She didn't know whether to believe the call, but she couldn't ignore it either. The web tightens. That night, Elizabeth searched through Charles's files once again, her desperation driving her to uncover the truth. When she found the hotel receipts mentioned in the call, her heart sank. The name Matthew Carter was listed, confirming her worst fears. Elizabeth sat back in her chair, her mind racing. The evidence was undeniable. Charles was planning something, and if she didn't act soon, it might be too late. Her paranoia now fully entrenched, Elizabeth made a decision. She would confront Charles one final time. But this time, she would be ready for whatever came next. The Mistress's Revenge, Chapter 7, Revelations and Deceptions. When truths and lies intertwine, even the most steadfast heart can falter. Elizabeth Armand sat in the darkness of her bedroom, her mind spiraling as her fingers traced the edges of the hotel receipts. The name Matthew Carter burned into her memory, its significance growing with every frantic thought. She didn't know who to trust anymore, not the private investigator, not the anonymous caller, and certainly not Charles. But one thing was clear, the time for subtlety had passed. She needed answers, and she was prepared to confront Charles no matter the cost. The confrontation. Charles came home late that night, his tie loosened and his expression tired. He barely had time to set his briefcase down before Elizabeth appeared in the doorway of the study, clutching the receipts like a lifeline. "We need to talk," she said, her voice cold and unwavering. Charles turned to face her, his brow furrowing. "Elizabeth, I'm not doing this again. I've had enough of these baseless accusations." "These," she said sharply, holding up the receipts, "aren't baseless." Charles froze, his gaze flickering to the papers in her hand. "What are those?" "Hotel receipts," she replied. "For the Grand Arcadia, with the name Matthew Carter on them." "Who is he, Charles? And why is his name connected to you?" Charles's jaw tightened, and for a moment, Elizabeth thought she saw a flicker of fear in his eyes. But then he sighed and shook his head. "You're unbelievable, Elizabeth. That's for a business deal, a consultant I've been working with. Don't lie to me." Elizabeth's voice rose, her anger boiling over. "You've been lying to me for months, and I'm done pretending everything is fine. Tell me the truth, or so help me, I'll... You'll what? Charles interrupted, his voice sharp. You'll accuse me of something else? You'll drag my name through the mud even more? What is it you want from me, Elizabeth? I want the truth, she screamed, her tears finally spilling over. I want to know what's happening, why you've been meeting with strange women, why there are offshore accounts, why there's a life insurance policy with notes about transition. I want to know why someone called me and told me you're planning to make me disappear. Charles stared at her, his face a mask of shock and disbelief. Someone called you? Yes, Elizabeth spat. And they knew about the hotel receipts. They knew everything, Charles. How do you explain that? A shocking claim. Charles's expression darkened, his frustration giving way to something colder. Elizabeth, listen to me. Someone is trying to manipulate you, and they're doing a damn good job. I don't know who it is, but I can promise you this. I'm not the enemy here. How can I believe that? Elizabeth whispered, her voice breaking. Everything points to you. Because it's all fake, Charles said, his tone firm. The receipts, the emails, the photos, someone is orchestrating this. And I think I know who. Elizabeth frowned, her mind racing. What do you mean? Charles hesitated, then stepped closer to her, his voice dropping to a near whisper. I think it's Vivian. The name hit Elizabeth like a slap.
Vivian?
The woman who's been helping me? Yes, Charles said, his gaze unwavering. She's not helping you, Elizabeth. She's manipulating you. I don't know why, but she's the one behind all of this. Elizabeth's world tilted. Vivian had been her confidant, her ally. Could it really be true? Or was this just another one of Charles's lies? Vivian's ploy. Across town, Vivian sat in her apartment, sipping champagne as she reviewed the latest messages Damien had sent her. The forged documents and emails were working perfectly, driving Elizabeth deeper into paranoia and pushing her further away from Charles. Her phone buzzed with a new message from Damien. The next batch of evidence is ready. When should I send it? Vivian smiled, typing her reply, not yet. Let her stew in this for a bit longer. Timing is everything. She set her phone down and leaned back in her chair, relishing the chaos she had created. But even as she celebrated her victory, a small part of her couldn't shake the feeling that her game was growing more dangerous with every move she made. Elizabeth's inner turmoil. That night, Elizabeth lay awake in bed, her mind a battlefield of conflicting emotions. Charles's claim about Vivian had shaken her to her core, but she couldn't dismiss it outright. There were too many coincidences, too many moments where Vivian's involvement seemed convenient. But if Vivian was lying to her, what did that mean for everything else? The emails, the photos, the receipts, were they all fabrications? And if so, what was Vivian's endgame? Elizabeth couldn't shake the feeling that she was a pawn in a much larger game, one she didn't fully understand. But one thing was certain. She needed to uncover the truth, no matter where it led. A risky decision. The next morning, Elizabeth made a decision. She would confront Vivian directly. If Charles was lying, Vivian would reassure her. And if Vivian was lying, Elizabeth didn't know what she would do. She called Vivian and arranged to meet at their usual cafe. As she hung up, a sense of unease settled over her. She was stepping into uncharted territory, and she had no idea what she would find. The meeting. Vivian arrived at the cafe looking as polished and composed as ever. She greeted Elizabeth with a warm smile, but Elizabeth couldn't shake the feeling that there was something calculating in her gaze. How are you holding up? Vivian asked, her tone full of concern. Elizabeth hesitated, her hands gripping her coffee cup tightly. Not well, she admitted. I found something, and I need you to be honest with me. Vivian tilted her head, her expression innocent. Of course. What is it? Elizabeth took a deep breath. Charles says you're the one behind all of this. The emails, the photos, the receipts. He says you're manipulating me. Vivian's smile faltered for a fraction of a second before she recovered. Elizabeth, that's absurd. Why would I do something like that? I don't know, Elizabeth said, her voice trembling. But I need to hear it from you. Are you lying to me? Vivian reached across the table, taking Elizabeth's hand in hers. Elizabeth, listen to me. Charles is trying to turn this around on me because he knows you're close to uncovering the truth. Don't let him manipulate you. Elizabeth's heart wavered. Vivian's words were convincing, but the doubt planted by Charles refused to leave. For the first time, Elizabeth felt truly lost, unable to discern truth from lies. The Mistress's Revenge, Chapter 8, The Game Unravels. In every game, there comes a moment when the pieces no longer move as expected and the board itself turns against the player. Elizabeth Armand walked away from her meeting with Vivian more conflicted than ever. Vivian had been calm and reassuring, her words dripping with sincerity, but Elizabeth couldn't shake the nagging doubt in her mind. The cracks in her trust, first in Charles, now in Vivian, were widening, threatening to shatter her fragile grasp on reality. Her thoughts churned as she drove back home, the sound of the engine drowned out by the echo of Vivian's words. Charles is turning this around on me, because he knows you're close to the truth. But what truth? And whose truth could she even trust anymore? The spy turns. That night, Charles met with his lawyer, Jonathan Hargrove, in a private room at a downtown club. Jonathan had spent the past few days investigating Vivian Laurent, and what he uncovered made Charles's blood run cold. "She's dangerous," Jonathan said, sliding a folder across the table. "Her past is littered with legal disputes, accusations of fraud, and relationships that ended in chaos. She's manipulated people before, and she's doing it again." Charles flipped through the documents, his jaw tightening with every page. Vivian's history painted a picture of a woman skilled in deception, someone who could twist any situation to her advantage. "She's targeting Elizabeth," Charles said, his voice low and firm.
"But why? What does she gain from this?"
Jonathan shrugged. "Revenge, maybe. Or money. I found evidence that she's been transferring funds into offshore accounts recently, accounts linked to shell companies. She could be trying to frame you, extort you, or both." Charles closed the folder, his resolve hardening. "We need to stop her before it's too late. Elizabeth's discovery." Meanwhile, Elizabeth's own investigation took an unexpected turn. Unable to fully trust Vivian or Charles, she decided to delve deeper into Vivian's past. Using contacts she had kept from her days organizing charity events, she reached out to a private investigator independent of Nathan Price. 2 days later, she received a report that left her reeling. Vivian's history of manipulation, financial fraud, and calculated relationships was laid bare in black and white. The Vivian she thought she knew, the supportive, compassionate friend, was a facade. Elizabeth felt the floor fall out from under her. Had she been played this entire time? And if so, what was Vivian's ultimate goal? The confrontation with Nathan. Desperate for clarity, Elizabeth confronted Nathan Price about his role in the investigation. She cornered him in his office, her hands trembling as she held up the folder of evidence. "You knew about her," Elizabeth accused, her voice shaking. "You knew who Vivian was, didn't you?" Nathan hesitated, his face betraying a flicker of guilt. "Mrs. Armand, I didn't know the full extent of her history." "But you knew something," Elizabeth pressed. "And you still let her into my life." Nathan sighed, running a hand through his hair. "Vivian approached me before you did. She paid me to dig into Charles's affairs, to gather dirt on him. I didn't know she was planning to manipulate you." Elizabeth's heart sank. So this was all part of her plan? The photos, the emails, the anonymous calls? Nathan nodded reluctantly. "I think so. I'm sorry, Mrs. Armand. I never meant for it to go this far." Elizabeth felt a wave of nausea wash over her. Everything, every decision, every doubt had been orchestrated by Vivian. And she had fallen for it completely. Vivian's mask slips. When Elizabeth confronted Vivian later that evening, it was with a fury she hadn't known she possessed. She marched into Vivian's apartment, the evidence clutched tightly in her hand. "You lied to me," Elizabeth said, her voice cold and cutting. "You've been lying to me from the start." Vivian, caught off guard, quickly composed herself. "Elizabeth, what are you talking about?" "Don't play dumb," Elizabeth snapped, throwing the folder onto the coffee table. "I know everything. Your past, your manipulations, your plan to destroy Charles and use me as a pawn." Vivian's expression darkened, the facade of kindness slipping away. "And what if I did?" she said, her tone icy. "Do you think Charles is innocent in all of this? He used me, discarded me like I was nothing, just like he's done to you." Elizabeth's hands clenched into fists. "That doesn't justify what you've done. You made me doubt everything, my marriage, my sanity. You used me." Vivian stepped closer, her voice low and venomous. "And you let me. You were so desperate for someone to blame, so eager to believe the worst about Charles, that you never questioned my intentions. You're just as complicit as I am." Elizabeth recoiled, the weight of Vivian's words hitting her like a physical blow. For a moment, she couldn't speak, her mind reeling with the realization of how deeply she had been manipulated. The tables turn. Elizabeth left Vivian's apartment in a daze, her anger giving way to determination. If Vivian had orchestrated this entire nightmare, then it was time to take control. She wouldn't be a victim any longer. Her first step was to return to Charles, to lay everything out on the table and confront the truth together. She wasn't sure if their marriage could survive, but she knew they had to face Vivian as a united front. When Elizabeth arrived home, she found Charles waiting for her in the study. He looked up as she entered, his expression wary but hopeful. "We need to talk," Elizabeth said, her voice steady. "I know who's behind this. And I think you're right. It's Vivian." Charles nodded slowly. "Then we need to work together to stop her." Vivian's next move. Unbeknownst to Elizabeth and Charles, Vivian was already preparing her next move. She had underestimated Elizabeth's resourcefulness, but she wasn't finished yet. There were still cards to play, still secrets to reveal. As she poured herself a glass of wine, Vivian stared at her phone, her mind racing. She had spent years perfecting the art of manipulation, and she wasn't about to let one misstep unravel her plans. "This isn't over," she whispered to herself, a wicked smile curling on her lips. "Not by a long shot." The Mistress's Revenge, Chapter 9, Chaos and Confrontation. A game built on lies cannot end without chaos, and every player must eventually show their hand. Elizabeth and Charles sat across from each other in the study, the tension between them palpable. For the first time in months, they were united by a common goal, stopping Vivian Lauren. The pieces of her scheme had become clear, but her endgame remained a mystery. Both knew that Vivian wouldn't back down easily. She had come too far to fold now. "I've contacted Jonathan," Charles said, breaking the silence. "He's digging into her finances and connections. If we can prove what she's been doing, we might have a chance to stop her before she takes this any further." Elizabeth nodded, her mind still racing. "I'll reach out to Martha. If Vivian tries to escalate this, we'll need legal protection." Charles hesitated, his expression softening. "Elizabeth, I know I've made mistakes, but I need you to believe me when I say I never wanted this to happen." Elizabeth met his gaze, her emotions conflicted. "I want to believe you, Charles. I really do. But it's going to take time." Charles nodded solemnly. "Then let's start by taking her down. Vivian's trap." Meanwhile, Vivian was putting the finishing touches on her own plan. She knew Elizabeth was beginning to unravel her lies, but she wasn't worried. If anything, she welcomed the challenge. Vivian thrived in chaos, and she had one final move to make, one that would ensure her revenge was complete. She contacted Damien Wolfe, her trusted ally in deception. "I need you to release the files," she said, her voice steady. "All of them." Damien sounded hesitant. "Are you sure? Once they're out, there's no going back." "I'm counting on it," Vivian replied. "Send them to the press. Leak them anonymously. Let the world see Charles for the monster he really is." Damien sighed but agreed. Within hours, damning documents began circulating online. Emails, photographs, financial records. While some of the evidence was real, most of it had been fabricated by Vivian and Damien to paint Charles as corrupt and unfaithful. The fallout was immediate. The fallout. The next morning, Charles and Elizabeth woke to a media firestorm. News outlets were flooded with reports of Charles's alleged misconduct, complete with fabricated evidence that painted him as a deceitful businessman and unfaithful husband. Charles's phone rang incessantly with calls from his legal team, his business associates, and reporters hungry for a statement. "This is a disaster," he muttered, pacing the length of the study. "She's destroying everything." Elizabeth sat on the couch, her face pale as she read through the articles. "This isn't just about you, Charles. She's trying to ruin both of us." Charles stopped pacing and looked at her. "Then we need to fight back." Confronting Vivian. That evening, Charles and Elizabeth decided to confront Vivian directly. They arrived at her apartment unannounced, their determination outweighing their caution. When Vivian opened the door, she greeted them with a knowing smile. "Well, this is unexpected," she said, stepping aside to let them in. "To what do I owe the pleasures?" "You know exactly why we're here," Charles said, his tone sharp. "We know what you've done, Vivian. And it ends now." Vivian closed the door behind them, her expression calm. "I have no idea what you're talking about." "Don't play games," Elizabeth snapped, stepping forward. "The leaked files, the emails, the photos, it all leads back to you." Vivian chuckled, her eyes glinting with malice. "You give me far too much credit. Do you really think I'm the only one who's tired of Charles's lies? The only one who wants justice?" "This isn't justice," Charles said, his voice rising. "This is revenge." Vivian's smile faltered, her composure slipping for the first time. "And why shouldn't it be? Do you think you can use people, discard them, and walk away unscathed? You destroyed me, Charles. I'm just returning the favor." Elizabeth stepped closer, her voice trembling with anger. "You used me, Vivian. You made me doubt my husband, my marriage, my sanity. How is that justice?" Vivian turned to her, her expression softening slightly. "I wasn't trying to hurt you, Elizabeth. I was trying to show you the truth." "The truth?" Elizabeth scoffed. "The only truth here is that you're a manipulative liar." Vivian's eyes narrowed. "And yet, you believed me." The turning point. The confrontation grew heated, voices echoing through the apartment as accusations flew. Vivian defended her actions with the conviction of someone who believed her own lies, while Charles and Elizabeth countered with the weight of their shared determination. But just as it seemed the argument would escalate further, a loud knock interrupted them. Everyone turned toward the door as it opened to reveal Jonathan Hargrove and two police officers. "Vivian Lauron," one of the officers said, stepping inside. "We have a warrant for your arrest." Vivian's eyes widened, her confidence crumbling.
"What?
On what grounds?" Jonathan stepped forward, his expression cold. "Fraud, defamation, and tampering with evidence. We traced the leaked files back to you, Vivian." "It's over." The officers moved to handcuff her, but Vivian resisted, her voice rising. "This isn't over. You think you've won, but you haven't. Charles will get what's coming to him. So will you, Elizabeth." As she was led away, her voice echoed through the hallway, a chilling reminder that even in defeat, Vivian was a force to be reckoned with. Aftermath. With Vivian arrested, the storm began to settle, though the damage she had caused would take time to repair. Charles's legal team worked tirelessly to clear his name, while Elizabeth focused on rebuilding their fractured relationship. Sitting together in the quiet of their home one evening, Charles reached for Elizabeth's hand. "Do you think we can move past this?" he asked, his voice hesitant. Elizabeth looked at him, her expression thoughtful. "I don't know, but I think we can try." For the first time in months, there was a glimmer of hope. The Mistress's Revenge, Chapter 10, The Final Act. When all is said and done, even the most intricate games of manipulation must come to an end. But not all endings bring closure. Vivian Lauron sat in the cold, gray confines of a holding cell, her hands resting on her lap. The chaos of her arrest still echoed in her mind, but her composure remained intact. She had always prided herself on being unshakable, even when the odds were stacked against her. And this was no different. The game wasn't over, not yet. The cleanup. Back at the Armand estate, Charles and Elizabeth worked tirelessly to reclaim control of their lives. Charles's legal team issued a public statement denouncing the leaked documents as fraudulent, and Jonathan Hargrove prepared to file a defamation suit against Vivian. Elizabeth, however, struggled to find peace. The wounds Vivian had inflicted ran deep, and trust, both in herself and in Charles, felt like a distant memory. One evening, as she sifted through the remaining evidence Vivian had planted, she came across a letter. It was tucked inside the folder Nathan Price had given her, its edges crisp and untouched. The handwriting on the envelope was unmistakable, Vivian's. Against her better judgment, Elizabeth opened it. "Elizabeth, if you're reading this, it means my plan didn't unfold as intended. But don't think for a moment that I've lost. People like Charles always pay for their sins eventually. You'll see. And when you do, remember that I was the one who opened your eyes. Vivian." Elizabeth's hands trembled as she read the words. The letter was a final taunt, a reminder that Vivian's influence would linger long after she was gone. A fragile reunion. The following week, Charles and Elizabeth attended a press conference where Charles publicly addressed the scandal. His calm demeanor and unwavering denial of the allegations helped restore some of his reputation, but the damage to their personal lives was harder to mend. That night, over dinner, Charles reached out to Elizabeth. "I know this has been impossible," he said, his voice quiet. "But I need you to know that I'm committed to fixing this." "To fixing us?" Elizabeth looked at him, her emotions a storm of resentment and hope. "I want to believe you, Charles. But I don't know if I can." Charles nodded, accepting her words without argument. "Then I'll spend the rest of my life proving it to you." Vivian's gambit. From behind bars, Vivian played her final card. She arranged for a trusted associate to release a second wave of information, this time targeting not only Charles, but Nathan Price as well. The files claimed Nathan had falsified evidence on behalf of Charles, casting doubt on the integrity of the entire investigation. The media frenzy reignited, and Charles found himself back in the spotlight. But this time, he was prepared. Armed with Jonathan's meticulous research, he dismantled Vivian's claims piece by piece. Vivian's fury was palpable as she watched the news from her cell. Her plan to destroy Charles was crumbling, but she refused to admit defeat. Elizabeth's choice. As the dust settled once again, Elizabeth found herself standing at a crossroads. The past months had revealed the fragility of her marriage and the ease with which trust could be shattered. One evening, as she stood on the balcony of their home, Charles joined her, his presence tentative. "I won't ask you to forgive me," he said, his voice breaking the silence. "But I will ask you to consider a future where we rebuild together." Elizabeth turned to face him, her expression unreadable. "Rebuilding means tearing down what's broken first, Charles. And I'm not sure we're ready for that." Charles nodded, his gaze steady. "Then we'll start with the foundation." For the first time in months, Elizabeth felt a flicker of hope. It was small, but it was there. The end game. Vivian's arrest marked the end of her reign of chaos, but her actions left a lasting impact. Elizabeth learned the power of doubt and the importance of trust, while Charles realized the fragility of the life he had taken for granted. Vivian, for her part, remained unapologetic. As she sat in her cell, she smiled to herself, knowing that her legacy of manipulation would linger in the minds of the Armands for years to come. "The game might be over," she whispered to herself, "but the scars will remain." Epilogue. Months later, Elizabeth stood in the study, a glass of wine in her hand. The house was quiet, the chaos of the past finally replaced by a fragile peace. She glanced at the fireplace, where the remnants of Vivian's letter had been burned to ash. The memories of betrayal and manipulation still lingered, but they no longer controlled her. Turning toward the window, Elizabeth let out a deep breath. The road to rebuilding her life would be long and uncertain, but she was ready to take the first step. And, for the first time in a long time, she felt free.